We have two Bible readings today. First, we'll read John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, which is found on page 1527. The second reading will be Psalm 23, which is found on page 787. Let us read John chapter 10, verse 1 to 21. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own out, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, not only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard this were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind?" Shall we all join in reading Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning, everyone. I'll take to good morning. We're awake. That's good. Great. I'm glad to be with you this morning. Lovely. If I haven't met you before, my name's Travis. I attend Bundoora Presbyterian Church with my wife and family. I'm sure they'll be along. I'll be with you for the next 4 weeks. Just to explain, we're doing four P's in the Bible. So a psalm, a proverb, and let me think of the other ones. A psalm, a proverb, a parable, and I'm saying Philemon, so I'm sneaking in there with the P, but an epistle. So we'll be doing four different P's, and today we'll be doing Psalm 23. So that's great. It was good to read it together as well, a little bit like perhaps the kids' memory verse. It's one of those psalms that you do want to say to yourself and let it sink into your soul. That might be something that will be beneficial at certain points in your life. Well, there we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Who takes care of you? Who do you follow? Who or what do you fall back on when in trouble? Who or what is your shepherd? Is it family or a friend, a husband or wife, sport, Netflix, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Google Maps, perhaps when you're lost, YouTube or Spotify, money, work, or a super fund even? Perhaps it's the stock market, your sense of control or independence, travel, food, or exercise. Well, there we go. The options are endless. Churchgoer or not, like me, you probably have many shepherds, many objects that you rely on to tend your soul. When it all boils down, each sheep really is the shepherd of their own soul. Against such a backdrop, we read the words of a man who tended sheep, a shepherd. The words, in fact, of the shepherd of Israel, King David. The Lord is my shepherd. Sorry, this doesn't seem to be working. There we go. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. That's a personal claim, an affirmation of trust. God's personal name, in fact, for family, capital L-O-R-D. David claims, is my shepherd. Perhaps the Lord has placed this psalm here before you today so that you might reassess who or what is shepherding you. Perhaps David's claim for the first time or once again might become yours. Can you share in his opening words as I'm challenged to? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray before we come to God's word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you that you speak to us over lots of different times, in lots of different places, and in lots of different ways. Thank you for this beautiful poem, which is by far the most famous of the Hebrew songbook in the Bible, the Psalms. I pray today that you would give us ears to hear your word, especially with a passage that's so familiar. Please, we pray that you would help us perhaps to rediscover some things we've forgotten or haven't noticed before. Please, Lord, help me to speak your word clearly and truthfully and with great conviction. Amen. Well, I was born and bred in Greensboro. As a borough boy, my knowledge of shepherds is completely zero. If you ask me about the nature of sheep, I'd use words like delicious, tender, and best served with gravy and three veggies. That's how I grew up. So in light of my ignorance, and possibly yours as well, let's discover together afresh what the good, great, and chief shepherd does, and how we, his sheep, ought to respond. 3 points, and I'll pray at the end of each of those points. Number one, the good shepherd provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The good shepherd, the Lord, says David, provides. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that sheep need grass and water. But take note that the Lord provides green, healthy pastures for the sheep to feed from, and quiet waters, the only waters where he knows the sheep will be able to have a good drink. Sheep don't know what's good for them and can't get what's best for them. That's why he makes them lie down and leads them. Perhaps a good way to sum up what the good shepherd is up to can be found in verse 3. He restores my soul. If you can say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd, then expect to be rejuvenated, revived, and restored back to what you should be as he provides for your needs. Then you can say, along with David, along with the rest of his sheep, I shall not be in want. When the Lord is your shepherd, you'll have everything you need. You may not have everything you want, but you will have everything you need. That means if you don't have something you want, the good shepherd has decided you don't need it. And it also means, on the flip side, that if you do have something that you don't want, the good shepherd has decided that you need that too. Either way, be assured that if you are a sheep in the good shepherd's flock, he knows how best to provide for your needs. And so you can trust him by being content with your circumstances no matter what. Sheep don't provide for themselves. The shepherd provides for each one of them. What does it mean to be a sheep? Well, it's to trust the shepherd who provides for your every need. How does the good shepherd provide for you today? Well, you tell me. What restores your soul? Perhaps it's his word. In Psalm 19, verse 7, we read that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Reading, hearing, studying, meditating, singing, and praying the Bible each and every day revives this sheep. What about you? Is your life, your goals, your character, your emotions, your thoughts being renovated by God's word? God provides his word and, thankfully, elder shepherds to feed us with it. Perhaps it's his world. Again, in Psalm 19, David exploded with praise to God for the world he made and enjoyed. God provides moments, doesn't he, in nature to revive us and reinvigorate our soul. Perhaps it's people, friends, family, a spouse. Psalm 88 reminds us of how important close relationships are. Without them, the psalmist was in the darkest of places, all alone. Relationships are God's provision and restore the soul, a fact that is all too familiar after many lockdowns. Why not sit down this afternoon by yourself as a family and list out with thankfulness all the ways your good shepherd has provided for your good? Why not list out with contentment all the ways your good shepherd has withheld certain gifts from you for your good? He knows what's best. Let us not forget, best of all, that the Lord has provided his good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, the Lord promised. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep and took it up again, we read. The barrier which separated us from God's sin and its consequences, God's anger, removed. Our relationship with God restored. It's because the Lord provided the good shepherd that you and I and David can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." This psalm stands as an invitation to own David's words as your own if you haven't yet. Enter into his fold by trusting the good shepherd who provided himself as a sacrifice to restore you back to God. Meet Susan. She's a hard-working single mum with one daughter. Complex family history for which she carries her own scars. She's just started a new job and is paddling hard to stay above water and send her daughter to a private school. Let's say she's just owned David's words as her own. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. What will change in her life, I ask? Well, I'd hoped she'd keep going to work, but now with the knowledge that the Lord has provided that job. Perhaps now she'll stop and give thanks to God for all of what she has. Her job, her child, her health, her energy, her skills, her home, past and present provisions. Not as the fruit of her own labor, but as gifts from God. And not only the small gifts, but the big ones too, like the gift of Jesus. I'd like to think Susan might put aside time on Sunday to meet with other Christians and give thanks together for Jesus. Maybe also her worries might reduce as she casts her cares on him, trusting that he cares for her. Susan knows that if he didn't even spare his own son, then of course he will give her everything and anything she needs. I wonder also if she might look back on her past and with a tear in her eye, remember the many good things the shepherd has withheld from her for her good, to bring her to himself and now to deepen her trust in him. That's Susan's story, but what about you? Is your life marked by thankfulness to your shepherd? Do you trust in the shepherd's wisdom to give and withhold? Let's pray the first point. Gracious Lord, you are our good shepherd. We shall not be in want. You provide for our every need, big and small. You especially take care of our greatest ones, like our need for forgiveness, like our need for you. Thank you for sending the good shepherd to lay down his life so that our relationship with you might be restored, so that we might be forgiven. We, your sheep, turn away from providing from our own needs without reference to you, and trust you entirely to provide for us today. Amen. Point two, the great shepherd guides. Verse 3 and 4, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep intuitively wander and go astray, don't they? Some more than others. They have a little sense of direction and they just don't care and become separated from the flock and isolated. Without a shepherd, sheep get lost. It's up to the Lord as the great shepherd, says David, to guide me. That means if the Lord is your shepherd, you're a follower. He guides, you follow. Along what direction does he guide us? In paths of righteousness. That means the track we're following him on is the right path. It involves living in a way that aligns ourselves to doing what is right as revealed in his word. A sheep in the Lord's flock, as he follows the shepherd, will become more righteous, just like the shepherd. As Psalm 25 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. And Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Why does he guide in that direction? It says, for his name's sake. The Lord's flock bear his name and advertise his reputation. All too often, the paths of righteousness take us into and through the deepest, darkest valley. But remember, sheep, the shepherd, even there, goes ahead and guides. Sheep aren't sent through the valley with best wishes. No, when the Lord is your shepherd, he goes first. And here, of all places, deep in the valley, clothed in darkness, David switches from talking about the Lord, he, to talking to the Lord. You are with me. It's in the valley where this sheep draws closer and comes to appreciate all the more the shepherd's intimate presence, which has no doubt been there all along. Psalm 88 gives you a taste of just how dark the valley gets. Remember Job's experiences or the Exodus generation. It's no wonder this psalm is a favorite for those at death's door. So if the Lord is your shepherd and guides you, how ought you respond? I will fear no evil, says David. The valley is a scary place for a sheep. Sheep are so easily frightened and startled, but in the valley, understandably so, there are real dangers like predators. But worse still, in the shadows, your imagination can run wild, can't it? Perceived threats can give rise to an overwhelming anxiety rooted in fear. A second time, David speaks to himself about what he will not do. I will not fear evil. Any type, real or perceived, this shepherd has decided not to be ruled by a sense of fear in death's shadow. It's the shepherd's presence, and particularly the comfort he receives from his rod or staff, that puts his heart at ease. Shepherds carried a big stick with them called a crook, with a hook in the end. It had many uses. With a crook, he could fight off predators like David did. With a crook, he could rescue a sheep that was stuck. With the crook, he could correct a sheep back into line. The crook to a sheep was a symbol of the shepherd's presence and authority. Authority exercised for the care of the sheep. Sometimes tough, sometimes tender. But to this sheep, David, as he heard the crook tap the rock in the darkness of the valley, it brought comfort and a reminder that he was not alone. Perhaps you have traveled through a valley or two. Perhaps you're there now, or perhaps you're just heading out the other side. Wherever you are, know this. The great shepherd, the Lord himself, Jesus, having walked perfectly the path of righteousness, not only entered the valley of the shadow of death, but walked into death itself. He didn't experience the comfort of the Lord's presence, for at the end, he was forsaken, stricken and smitten, afflicted, pierced and crushed, scorned, rejected and despised. He laid down his life and came out the other side. Why, you ask? For his name's sake. We all, like sheep, had gone astray. Each of us had turned his own way. He searched out the lost sheep of Israel and brought back the strays, just like he said. He went after the one lost sheep, like Zacchaeus, and left the 99. And not only Israel, but he brought into his flock other sheep not of that pen, like you and I too. Called by name, listening to his voice, following him, life to the full, one flock under one shepherd for his name's sake. The shepherd who guides you today through the valley has traveled a much darker path. No matter how dark things look, he is, by his Spirit and through his word now, right there, up front, guiding away. Having walked in your shoes as a sheep, he's able to sympathize with your every fear. And having already traveled through to the other side, provides assurance to lead you through. This psalm stands as an invitation to own David's words as your own if you haven't yet. Enter into his fold by trusting the great shepherd to guide you through life, death, and to life to the full. Meet Jim. Jim's lived life to the full. Since this life is all there is, Jim's made the most of it. Wife, kids, career, travel. Jim's done well for himself until recently. He's just been diagnosed with a rare, aggressive, terminal cancer, the type everyone dreads. Or perhaps it's early onset dementia, where you just gradually fade away from the inside. His nightmares, it's true, have become a reality. All he's lived for has turned to ash. But through the visits of a hospital chaplain, Jim's just come to own David's words as his own. The Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. Previously, he was stricken with depression over the demise of all that he holds dear. He was anxious for the future and uncertain about death itself. Now, realizing that the great shepherd has traveled this way before and leads him on, he feels a growing sense of assurance that all will be okay. He's not alone. Any step of the way, every fear has been conquered. Jim recalls Romans 8 often. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present or future or any powers, neither height or depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This sheep, Jim, in the valley is under the watchful guidance of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out to green pastures. That's Jim's story. But what about you? Who sets the direction for your life? Is your life marked by assurance in the shepherd's guidance? Are you convinced that you are inseparable from your good shepherd? Let me pray for our second point. Gracious Lord, you are our great shepherd. We will fear no evil. You guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, even the valleys. We thank you that Jesus went before us into death itself and out the other side. We turn away from guiding ourselves and admit we are lost and need your help to put us on the right path back to you. Amen. The third point, the chief shepherd protects. Sheep are helpless. A combination of little acceleration and poor speed, coupled with a short stamina, mean running is futile. There's no camouflage, no poison or sharp teeth. They can't fight back. There's no frightening sound to scare away. They don't collaborate for a united defense. They are soft, fluffy, and delicious. Sheep, you might say, are an easy meal, a fast food snack. That is, without a shepherd to protect. Verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here at the end of the psalm, we find ourselves deep down in the valley with David, determined to fear no evil, speaking now directly to his shepherd, who is there leading him through. This sheep recounts with greater precision how the Lord protects. You prepare a table before me. It's a present reality, not a future hope or a distant memory. The Lord sets or spreads a table, an animal's skin on the ground, filled with food. The table is a picture of fellowship and leisure. He is dining with the Lord, his host, his friend. It's a picture of provision. He has food to eat by the shepherd's hand. It's a picture of peace. There is space to eat with the absence of fear. But more so, because it's set in the presence of his enemies, it's a picture of the Lord's protection. When David was on the run, he would just grab what he could, even if it was just bread from the temple. But more often than not, he was dependent on the hospitality of others. Time and time again, while on the run, the Lord protected David by giving him something to eat. Say, for example, when Abigail, Nabal's wife, provided a banquet of food in 1 Samuel 25. Or when Shobi and his friends supplied David with food when he was pursued by Absalom in 2 Samuel 17. Such is the chief shepherd's protection of his sheep that he is able to spread a picnic rug in the valley. And not just picnic, but oil. You anoint my head with oil. How much? My cup overflows. Oil was used for healing wounds and as a perfume, but here signifies an individual that was set apart by God for blessing and prosperity. How much blessing for this sheep under attack? Not sufficient, but abundant. The Lord's protection, next, culminates in a tremendous assurance. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. With the Lord up front, paving the way through the valley, David pictures God's goodness like two sheepdogs chasing him behind all his days. When the Lord's your shepherd, you can be certain that all things will work together for your good. When the Lord is your shepherd, you can be certain that his unmerited kindness will continue to show themselves in your life. You can trust the chief shepherd. He has protected you from your enemies. The shepherd laid down his life to protect you, in fact, from your greatest enemies, Satan, sin, and the grave. None of which have control or a final say over your life anymore. When the chief shepherd appears, he will vanquish their reign for good and give you the crown of life he promised. Safe from thieves and robbers, predators, illness and disease, safe from our own folly. In light of his provision, David shall not want. In light of his guidance, David will not fear. And now, in light of his protection, David will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a fact, not a wish or a hope, but a certainty. The house of the Lord, used often to describe the temple, is code for God's presence. That's where his sheep want to be and will be with his shepherd forever. Not all the days of my life, but forever. This psalm begins and ends with the Lord, God's name. That is, after all, who this sheep is chasing after and longs to be with. What does it say again, remember, of the great multitude in heaven in Revelation? They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. A shepherd at last with his sheep. Meet Tash. She's been a Christian all her life. She's finishing high school, but life has been relentless. Pressures with friendships, self-image, employment, education, and not to mention home as well. But pressures from the inside too. Anger, impatience, unkind words, disappointment, doubt, and anxiety. Life, at least at the moment, is no season of refreshment. And yet, in the midst of these enemies, some real, some perceived, Tasha's longing to be closer to her shepherd has deepened. Her understanding of Christ's love has grown through her Bible reading, through her small group, through her local pastor's preaching. Through the kindness of others, like her parents, like a youth group, or that other church family, the Lord has set a table before her. As she looked back over the valleys, Tash can trace God's kindness chasing her along and keeping her on track. Things are still a mess, But now, more so than ever, she can't wait to see God's smiling face and feel his warm embrace. The Lord is her shepherd, and she will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Tasha's story. But what about you? Is your life marked by a deepening longing to be closer to your shepherd? Can you trace God's kindness through the valleys? Are you looking forward to eternity with your shepherd? This sheep, the sheep of Israel, has been on a journey. From pastures to the stream, along the path, through the valleys, a stop before their enemies, and now, at last, back home. This psalm stands as an invitation to own David's words as your own, if you haven't yet. Enter into his fold by trusting the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, to provide for you, to guide and protect you, and to bring you home safely. Let's pray one final time. Gracious Lord, you are our good, great, and chief shepherd. We long to dwell in your presence forever, safe and sound under your roof. Forgive us when we've tried to keep ourselves safe. You have and are protecting us from our greatest enemies when you sent the Lord Jesus to die and rise again. We thank you, Lord. We turn away from trying to protect ourselves and admit without you, we're defenseless. Amen. Wonderful.